I love being micromanaged by my boss, said nobody ever. Today on the Champion Forum podcast, we discuss how to navigate a micromanaging boss.
This is the Champion Forum podcast with Jeff Hancher, the forum for leaders, champions, and dreamers.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I am your host and your biggest fan, Jeff Hancher, and I am on a mission to help others lead, inspire, and win in this life. We had yet another listener question come in that I felt deserved some space on the show, as it is a topic that I navigate quite a bit. And this question is from Chuck. And Chuck says, "Hey, Jeff, I hope you can help. For my entire career, I have had leaders that trusted me and gave me autonomy to do my work. That is until now. I currently have a boss that micromanages everything, and I am at the end of my rope. Can you give me some advice on how to best navigate this?" Well, Chuck, thank you for the question. And let me assure you, you are not alone with this challenge. I come across this question quite often, and I'm going to do my best to give you some practical advice that may help the situation. And to just kind of set the stage, I do believe that I am somebody that has earned the right to talk about this. And I'll tell you, there's two big reasons why I feel I've earned the right to talk about this. I was at one point in my leadership tenure a chronic micromanager, and if I'm being fully transparent, I still have traces of it to this day. The second reason that I believe I am qualified to talk about this is I have reported to numerous micromanagers, and they weren't bad people. They just micromanaged a lot, and I began to navigate and understand all of these different dynamics of what causes this. Once you know the root issue of what causes things, you can begin working on them. Let's set the tone by talking about what is it, because maybe you might be listening and saying, "Oh man, I've been waiting for this topic, Hanch." But maybe what you are defining as micromanagement isn't micromanagement. So I think it's important that we set the stage by talking about what is it and the effects that it has, and then we'll get right into how do you deal with it if you have a boss that's doing it. What we know about micromanagement is that it's detrimental to employee morale. It's detrimental to engagement. It can affect mental health. It causes unnecessary stress for everyone involved. It's been closely linked to turnover. Most managers that I've come across that are even defined as micromanagers, they do have good intentions. I don't know a leader. I've never come across a leader that said, "Well, you know what? I always said that when I was a leader, I was going to be a micromanager." Like, I don't think anybody sets out with the intention of being a micromanager. So how does all of this happen in the first place? Like, let's peel this back a little bit, because nobody's setting out to make their team miserable, right? The need for a leader to micromanage, it can come from a number of places. It can come from anxiety. Often it comes from low self-esteem, which causes this level of insecurity, which means that they now have to overcompensate because they do battle some insecurity. And the desire to simply do it all can most certainly contribute to the tendency to want to be overly involved. I mean, if I'm doing it all, if I have a pulse on everything, the likelihood of it turning out good is much better. And so let's talk through some of these things that happen. One, there's a need for control. If you're dealing with a micromanaging boss, they have a need for control. And like I said before, as a recovering micromanager, I can tell you this was the root cause of my micromanaging when it was at its highest, was that it was due to my own insecurity. I was overcompensating. I didn't really know how to be a good leader. I just knew that I was a good individual contributor. So if I just swooped in and, you know, micromanaged everything and made sure that everybody was doing it the way that I used to do it, the odds of us winning were pretty good. And I would get results, but they would never be sustainable because people didn't like me. Nobody liked being led by that. most everyone, I think it goes without saying, likes to be in control to some degree, especially when it comes to our jobs. When we're in control, it signals stability. It can make us feel a sense of calm if we're micromanagers. For leaders, though, we have to understand that the part of our job description is that it requires a level of nurturing and growing people in their careers, which ultimately this means giving up some of that control so that we can do what? So that we can empower them. And it's when empowering comes that we now have the security that we can trust them with a mission. So if you want this, we're going to talk about how if you have a boss, how you can help them overcome this. But here's another reason why it starts to manifest is there might be a lack of trust. And this is when you, the direct report, you do have to look in the mirror and you have to ask yourself, are there things that I'm doing that can contribute more to the relationship, to trust? If you don't have a strong foundation of trust as a leader and it doesn't exist on your team and you have a culture that doesn't support trust, it's going to lead to micromanagement, especially if trust is not something already being displayed by the people on your team and at all levels of leadership. The hard truth that I have learned as a consultant over the last 5 years is that leaders simply do not know how to go about building trust. And this is a recipe for micromanagement to occur. By the way, if you are a leader and you're listening, how many workshops have you been to or books have you read about the art of building trust? It's not something that's really taught, and it's something that is more caught than it is taught. So it's hard to manage this, especially for newer leaders. That's why this thing is very hard, and it is a two-way street. So the direct report has to own it, but the leader has to lead with trust. If there's a lack of trust, I can guarantee you micromanagement. The next thing is, there's this mindset possibly of how else are things going to get done the right way if I'm not micromanaging? And this is a common response I get from micromanagers about why they're doing what they're doing. You know, when I go into organizations and I start looking behind the curtain and asking questions of employees and direct reports, and I keep hearing this micromanagement, 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 I usually get to one of these end results. And when I talk to the leader and I make them aware of some of the feedback that I've been getting, they always come to me with things like, well, listen, I've come to learn that if you want it done right, then you got to do it yourself around here. And that's a mantra that typically isn't true. It's most likely because you haven't empowered the right people. Maybe you haven't hired the right people, but you don't feel this release to delegate because you don't think anybody can do it better for you than you. However, every high-impact leader that I've ever met has come to this realization that the mission is bigger than them. And they see employee failure and mistakes and setbacks as learning opportunities. I mean, you may be right in saying that nobody can do it better than you, and if you want to get it done right, I got to do it myself. That might be true. I'm not here to argue that. But at some point, you have to hit this fork in the road that says, you know what? This is bigger than me. The mission's bigger than me. I can't do it all. Micromanagement ultimately will lead to burnout. And what are some of the signs? Let's talk about some of the signs of micromanagement. This is something for you, the direct report, to be aware of, and you, the leader. Here's some signs that micromanagement exists in your environment. The leader doesn't do well in empowering others to earn the right to delegate. Delegation is all well and good, but if you're not empowering people and just delegating, you're setting people up to fail. And if you're not empowering at all, you're probably micromanaging. When a micromanager delegates something, they have a tendency to instantly become involved in the work, even the minor details, which if we can be honest with each other, that's not really delegation at all. That's pushing work off. Pushing work off is not proper delegation. So don't parade around. I'm not a micromanager. I give people work to do all the time. That's exactly what you're doing. You're giving them work. A true leader that sees value in delegating, they do it as a way to grow people, not to dump workload on them. This comes to empowerment. We have to train, equip, guide, seek buy-in, and ensure that people have been empowered so that when we delegate, we have the trust that they can do it and they have the confidence that they can. The second sign is that they have a need for constant updates. Micromanagers, they need to know what is going on. Now, effective teamwork should obviously be rooted in communication. I'm not here to argue that. But there's a big difference between status updates for alignment and those for the sake of satisfying a micromanager. This is like, give me an hourly update. Okay, how about a 30-minute update? Okay, how about a 5-minute update? If you're working with a micromanager, they're going to want to know every little detail of every little thing, and they'll usually ask for constant updates. How are we doing on the project? How are we doing on the deadline? How are we doing on the customer proposal? How are we doing on the invoice? Have we collected all the AR? When are you calling them back? It's exhausting to everybody, including the micromanager. Then we have what I call the seagull leader, and this might be one of my favorites. Picture this. A new project is assigned to you. Detailed, it's downloaded, you got it. And here you are, you're walking back to your desk or your office or wherever you work to digest this new information and figure out what your next steps are going to be. And boom, before your butt even hits the chair, there's your micromanager swooping in with advice or this immediate need to check in. This seagull leader has mastered the art of what I call the swoop and the poop. Yeah, the swoop and the poop. It's a classic. If you've ever seen a seagull attack a bag of chips at the beach, you all know what I'm talking about here. When swooping in, the ideas and changes, they tend not to be as well thought out as they should. I mean, look, you didn't even know there were seagulls around, and one chip falls out of your bag, and the next thing you know, here comes the seagull tearing it, making a mess of everything, crapping on you, and flying out of there, and you don't see him again till who knows how long. The aftermath is messy, takes a while to clean up, and on top of all that, the seagull is long gone when you have to figure out how to move forward, providing no help to figure out the fixes that you need to implement. So not only do you have a mess to clean up, you've then got to do it without any guidance, which normally would be okay if it's not too disruptive. That said, if you do it wrong, you better just prepare yourself for another round of poop coming your way, because they will be swooping back in, causing all the commotion and swooping back out. And then we have number four, which is this hyper-focused person. And I don't mean just hyper-focused on everything. I'm talking hyper-focused on the small stuff too. Many micromanagers will over-focus on relative minutiae, and they will put a bow tie on this saying, I'm committed to excellence. Well, okay, you can, if that helps you sleep at night, right? But I'm talking about like a grammar error or a tiny mistake with a document, instead of trying to resolve the big picture around what needs to be done. Now, look, I'm a stickler for grammar and a tiny mistake with the document, but sometimes we got to pick our battles. I mean, I get it. Typos aren't ideal. I got it. But ultimately, a lot of the stuff that companies care about internally is not stuff that customers will ultimately care about at all. Look at the big picture in the end game. Micromanagers usually look at the details they can immediately control. Boom, I got to get in there. There's a problem, I'm in it. There's not an I, you know, a dot over the I, I'm all over it. So we have identified some causes and traits of micromanagers since we've been on this consulting journey. So I'm going to give you some practical advice now that we have kind of outlined some identifiers and some attributes and some causes of what creates this dynamic. I'm going to give you some practical advice that has served me very well over the years with my very own micromanaging bosses. The first thing that I would tell you, if you have a boss that's a micromanager, is try to understand them. And here's where I get a little bit of heartburn from people like, Jeff, they're the leader. Is it really my job to try to figure them out? Should I be putting all of this energy into trying to understand them? Shouldn't they be the one that's coming to me? Suit yourself. But here's what I'm going to tell you. If you don't figure out how to overcome and work with micromanagers, Because here's the popular thing that people do. They get a micromanager. They can't take it anymore, so they escalate it to a higher level of leadership. Now the trust is completely eroded. You won the battle because you told on them, and now they're just making your life miserable. So then you just ultimately quit, and you're like, finally, I got rid of the micromanaging jerk boss. And guess what typically happens in your next job? You run into another one. They're everywhere, by the way. So try to understand them. Win with your micromanager, because what this does is it shows your ability to influence and make impact. This is called leading without a title. Remember, it's very rare that any leader sets out with a goal of being a micromanager. So by you gaining some perspective and thinking about the reasons for maybe why they're micromanaging and why it might be happening, it's always a useful practice. Is it that maybe, I don't know, are they uncomfortable as a leader? Is that possible? It is. It's absolutely possible. Is it possible that they're insecure? It is. I was insecure as a leader. Do you think I went around admitting that? Hey, everybody, I don't know why they gave me this job. I don't know what the heck I'm doing. I don't even know if I'm going to be good at this. Nobody's parading that around. They're insecure. Maybe they're anxious, and they don't want this to reflect badly on them. You know, there's this ego thing that we all have, right? So trying to view the situation from another perspective, it can help you to prepare your communication style as well as deliver in a way that will help you build trust with them. Because the goal here is not to be right. Like, you can parade around the flag, my boss is a jerk micromanager. And by the way, here's a popular one. Go to the lunchroom and rally the troops. Isn't our boss a jerk? Aren't you all sick of him being, her being, a micromanager? Oh, yeah. Now you've created this coup. Well, does that make you feel justified and better? Is that really helping the situation? It's probably not. So the first step is to try to have an understanding and put yourself in their shoes. The second thing is have a conversation with them. Oh, Jeff, I would never. If you knew my boss, oh my. Now listen, I'm here to tell you, you're going to have to use some tact depending on your boss's style and personality and all of that. But speaking as honestly and professionally as you can about how you're feeling, it's always a good start. Start with high empathy. Use proper tone and highlight certain words or actions that make you feel micromanaged or anxious or not trusted by this micromanaging boss. But here's what I will tell you. Starting off with, I feel micromanaged, is highly likely to produce a defensive knee-jerk reaction and be very unproductive. So tread carefully. Micromanager is not a fun word. It's like calling them a bad word. If you say you're a micromanager or I feel micromanaged, you automatically are drawing a defensive situation. So don't ever say the word micromanager. Seriously, this will not help your cause. Whether you approach them at your review or in a one-on-one debrief or whatever, do not say micromanage. Do not say micromanager to describe their behavior. It will not help your cause. It's kind of like asking your mentor if they'll be your mentor. Hey, will you be my mentor? Like, that's awkward. Like, don't say it that way. Repackage it in a way that it can be productive. Maybe what you need to do is ask your boss for a little bit more autonomy. Remind them maybe of some projects or tasks that you've successfully completed over the years and you've done all on your own. And to ease them into this, try something like, hey, boss, how about I work on this project for a week? After that, I'll offer you a full debrief of where everything stands and the format that you prefer on Thursday at 3:00. Now we're setting tone. We're setting this, look, I want you involved, but give me a little bit of a leash here. You have to have the conversation and go into it with a very collaborative approach. If you go in with a directive approach, you're probably not going to win. You're going to win the battle. You're going to lose the war. The next step is to get ahead of your work. Well, here we go again, Jeff. It's not really my responsibility to have to work harder to pacify my boss, who's a poor leader. Well, you're asking me for advice, and I'm telling you, this one works. Think about this. Here's an example. If you know your manager asks for constant updates, try and update them on important topics before they have a chance to ask. Wow. How about this for an idea, right? Give them what they want. Feed them what they want. Y'all, if you're listeners of the show, I talk about fishing hooks all the time. If you're going to the lake, you're not putting your favorite snack on the fishing hook. You're putting the fish's favorite snack. You put a worm on the fishing hook, not a Snickers bar, right? If you know that you have a micromanaging boss that's always asking for updates, proactively give them to them. What you start to do here is this will help build trust, and it will show them that you are reliable. You're this reliable employee who's capable of fulfilling tasks. Now, you might say, Jeff, that I don't think that should be necessary. I've never had a boss that I've had to do that with. Well, this is the key to building trust. Trust is a key to having micromanagers start delegating and empowering. And I realize you may feel like you're accommodating to their deficiency. However, always ask yourself, do I want to win the battle or do I want to win the war? The next step is to get very clear on their expectations. I've shared this before and I will share it again. One of the best things that you can ask your manager is this: how can I align my priorities with yours? What this does is it gives your boss the opportunity to think critically about where they need your help right now. It's a way of catering to their sense of urgency. You'll want to get a sense of what their hopes are, what their vision is, what their concerns are, how you can support them in the face of all of these things that are either holding them back or that how they want to propel forward. Who are they reporting to? How can you help them look good in front of their boss? What are they wanting to achieve? What are their goals? This is a great way to build trust and begin leading up in your organization. When you get very clear on their expectations and where they're trying to go, then you could come behind them and help support that. Notice I didn't say in any of this, start brown-nosing your boss. That never works because it's perceived as fake applause. But you can ask questions like, how can I align my priorities with yours, so that now what we're getting is we're getting collaboration. The next step is to establish clear communication expectations. Not everybody speaks the way we like to speak. Not everybody is delivering the way that we would like to hear. Remember, part of the underlying causes behind micromanagement, it's a need for control. One way you can directly play into your boss's desire for control while still getting them off your back is to keep them in the know. CC them on important emails that you know they're going to want to monitor anyway. Send an end-of-day or end-of-week update via email with a catalog of all the progress you've made and a list of outstanding items that you're waiting on them for, or delays from a customer or a vendor or whatever it might be. Taking this kind of initiative in this type of a way, it's not annoying. It's convenient to them. Make their life easier by being proactive about this communication. Establish this cadence of clear communication with them. And of course, you don't have to come up with these protocols all by yourself. Talk about how you want to talk. Talk to other peers that you have, other people in the organization, especially if you're new to this boss. Find out what their normal cadence is. Discuss with your boss what communication best practices are going to work best for you and for them. But keep them in the know regularly, and they won't feel this need to constantly peer over your shoulder. Chuck, thanks again for the question. This was a great one. I hope this serves you well as you continue to navigate this micromanaging boss that you have. And by demonstrating competence, by demonstrating this, I'm going to propose solutions to you, micromanager, you can build trust and create a more positive working dynamic with your micromanaging boss. Turn a difficult situation into an opportunity to shine and strengthen your relationship with them. Chuck, you're not alone. There's many people listening that are facing some of these same challenges. If you are listening and you're a micromanaging boss, make sure you go back to season two so that we can help you be less of a micromanager. If you're reporting to a micromanaging boss, remember the steps that we unpacked. Try to understand them. Have an honest conversation with them. Try to get ahead of your work to give them a little more peace of mind. Get very clear on their expectations so that you can collaborate with them and establish clear communication. Feed them what they need to put them at ease and build the trust gap. Appreciate you all joining. Until next week, keep influencing those around you and keep turning the pressure into potential.
The Champion Forum Podcast with Jeff Hancher. Lead. Inspire. Win.